themselves into it, making it wobble. "Davis!" Abernathy said. Davis hunched down, flattening himself toward the boulder to keep his center of gravity low. He glanced over to Abernathy, who was now conferring with King and West. Without being able to hear them, Davis knew that they were reviewing what they knew about Borgovian landworms and trying to devise a plan to neutralize the creatures so that they could cross the cave in safety and reach the chamber that housed the ancient central computer of the Borgovians, which could give them a clue about the disappearance of that wise and mysterious race. "You really need to start focusing on your current situation," some part of Davis's brain said to him, and he shook his head again. Davis couldn't disagree with this assessment. His brain had picked a funny time to start spouting a whole bunch of extraneous information that served him no purpose at this time. The worms rocked his boulder again. Davis gripped it as hard as he could and saw Abernathy, King, and West become more animated in their attempted problem-solving. A thought suddenly came to Davis. "You're part of the security detail," it said. "You have a pulse gun. You could just vaporize these things." Davis would have smacked his head if the worms weren't already doing that by driving it into the boulder. Of course, the pulse gun! He reached down to his belt to unclasp the gun from his holster. As he did so, another part of his brain wondered why, if in fact the solution was as simple as just vaporizing the worms, Captain Abernathy or one of the other officers hadn't just ordered him to do it already. "I seem to have a lot of voices in my brain today," said a third part of Davis's brain. He ignored that particular voice in his brain and aimed at a moving hump of dirt coming toward his boulder. Abernathy's cry of, "Davis, no!" arrived at the exact instant Davis fired, sending a pulsed beam of coherent, disruptive particles into the dirt mound. A screech emanated from the mound, followed by violent thrashing, followed by a sinister rumbling, followed by the ground of the cave erupting as dozens of worms suddenly burst from the dirt. "The pulse gun is ineffective against Borgovian landworms," Davis heard Science Officer King say over the unspeakable noise of the thrashing worms. "The frequency of the pulse sends them into a frenzy. Ensign Davis has just called every worm in the area." "You couldn't have told me this before I fired?" Davis wanted to scream. "You couldn't have said, oh, by the way, don't fire a pulse gun at a Borgovian landworm at our mission briefing, on the ship, at which we discussed landing on Borgovia, which has fucking landworms." Davis didn't scream this at King because he knew there was no way King would hear him. And besides, it was already too late. He'd fired. The worms were in a frenzy. Somebody now was likely to die. It was likely to be Ensign Davis. Through the rumble and dust, Davis looked over at Abernathy, who was gazing back at him, concern furrowed into his brow. And then Davis was wondering when, if ever, Abernathy had ever spoken to him before this mission. Oh, Abernathy must have. He and Davis's father had been tight ever since the destruction of the Franklin. They were friends. Good friends. It was even likely that Abernathy had known Davis himself as a boy, and may have even pulled a few strings to get his friend's son a choice berth on the Intrepid, the flagship of the Universal Union. The captain wouldn't have been able to spend any real time with Davis. It wouldn't have done for the captain to show favoritism in the ranks, but surely they would have spoken. A few words here and there, Abernathy asking after Davis's father, perhaps, or on other away missions. Davis was coming up with a blank. Suddenly, the rumbling stopped. The worms, as quickly as they had gone into a frenzy, appeared to sidle back under the dirt. The dust settled. "They're gone," Davis heard himself say. "No," Abernathy said. "They're smarter than that." "I can make it to the mouth of the cave," Davis heard himself say. "Stay where you are, Ensign," Abernathy said. "That's an order." But Davis was already off his boulder and running toward the mouth of the cave. Some part of Davis's brain howled at the irrationality of the action, but the rest of Davis didn't care. He knew he had to move. It was almost a compulsion, as if he had no choice. Abernathy screamed, "No!" very nearly in slow motion, and Davis covered half the distance he needed to go. Then the ground erupted as landworms, arrayed in a semicircle, launched themselves up and toward Davis. And it was then, as he skidded backward, and while his face showed surprise, in fact, that Ensign Davis had an epiphany. This